Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Terror Jab Radio Network.
In your face.
Boyer Online. 24-7. 24-7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
D-O-C-R. The voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight, so let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. And riding cohort shotgun tonight, Hugh Mash. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
And good evening, everyone. Glad you could make it tonight. It is Thursday, July the 3rd, 2014. 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Mountain, and of course 10 p.m. East Coast. 4 a.m. in London, England. God bless you. We appreciate those that may be up at that time of the morning. And if not, you will be catching us on archive. It's 27 degrees Celsius in Calgary tonight. That's about 82, 84 degrees Fahrenheit for our imperial friends. Tonight, we shall explore the news and events which continue to erode freedom around the world, and hope you will join in the conversation by phone, 347-324-3287, or by email at vocr2012@gmail.com. A riding shotgun with me tonight, of course, is my sidekick, Hugh Mack. Good evening, Hugh. Welcome back.
Colin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very, very well, sir. Very, very well. Hot enough for you?
It could be a couple of degrees hotter. I like it hot, so
you do.
Starting to get into my area. Yep.
I got to tell you, this Englishman, his body, after 40 years or so being in Canada, every time we hit these temperatures, got the cold cloth around my neck, got the fan on my face, life is good. Life is good.
It's not wet enough for you Englishmen, though.
No, it's not. That's the problem. It's too dry. Before we get to tonight's show, I did want to bring attention, Hugh, to the special Amber Alert that went out on Monday from the Calgary City Police. They issued an Amber Alert for a young boy who disappeared with his grandparents from his grandparents' home in Calgary. And I just want to make it clear to all of our listeners that the grandparents are not the suspects. They are also missing, and there were signs of a struggle in and around their home. The little lad was staying overnight for a sleepover with his grandparents. So Nathan O'Brien, he's 5 years old, I believe, and his grandparents, Kathy, 56, and Alvin Lickner, 66, were discovered missing at 10 a.m. Mountain Time Monday after Nathan's mother went to pick him up from the sleepover that they were having at the house. Now, an Amber Alert was issued at 5:15 p.m. Mountain Time Monday, and police do say that there were signs the three did not leave the house willingly. And the Calgary City Police are asking anyone out there in Radioland who may have any information to come forward. If you know anything about this issue or may have any kind of information on this issue, please call the Calgary City Police at 403-266-1234 or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477. Now, ladies and gentlemen, friends, please pray for their safe return. Go to the website NathanCathyAlvin.com, one word, NathanCathyAlvin.com, and send your good wishes to the family, and hopefully we can get this sorted out and this little boy and we'll come home safe and sound so we can have a good resolution to this.
I was reading a post on, I believe it was on the CDC website just a short while ago, that says the police can name the suspects. So they have an idea who they are. And,
yes, they do.
Yeah, and so it's they're zeroing in, I suppose. But yeah, let's hope everything's okay with Nathan and his grandparents. Sir.
Yeah. Let me just do the official Amber Alert, and then we'll get on with the show.
The Calgary Police Service continues to investigate the suspicious disappearance of three people and are seeking the public's help for information. Investigators are asking anyone who attended an estate sale at the residence in the 100 block of 38 A Avenue Southwest over the weekend, June 28th and 29th. 2014. Nathan's mom and his younger sibling had been at the residence assisting with the estate sale on Sunday afternoon. Nathan's mom left the residence with her youngest child around 10 p.m., leaving Nathan to have a sleepover with his grandparents.
Nathan, your mom and dad, Luke and Maximus, and your whole family loves you to every star and back. Nathan, you are our superhero right now, and we're going to bring you home very soon. Nathan, God is taking care of your soul, and mom and dad need you to be brave right now. Do whoever has Nathan, please find it in your heart to drop off our little angel, Nathan, to which he can be rescued and reunited with his brothers and his family. To the public, our son and family could be anywhere right now. If you have any information, anything at all, please contact the police. We are grateful for all the support from everyone we have received online, our family and friends. Nathan, we love you big. We will see you soon.
Nathan's mother, Jennifer O'Brien, and I'm the daughter of Alvin and Kathy Lickness. Nathan, I need you to hear my voice right now, and I need you to know that Mommy and Daddy love you more than anything in this world. We can't be with you right now, but the best people that can be with you other than us is your grandparents, and I know Grandma's holding you so tightly right now and taking care of you, and they are doing everything in their power to keep you safe, so I need you to know that. Stay strong, Nathan. Stay strong. We know you are our superhero, and I just need you to stay strong, and we are going to see you. We're going to see you, and we love you so much.
If you know anything about this issue or may have information, please call the Calgary City Police Service at 403-266-1234 or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477.
The voice continues after this. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com or on air live 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
And we do hope for a good resolution in that Amber Alert. Special shout-out tonight to Billy from Arkansas. Billy, I appreciate your email information regarding the Illuminati. Please keep it coming. We do have a special coming up in a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. We will take care of that. Sandra from Fort Worth, Texas, who's a longtime listener. Thank you for the kudos, Sandra. Keep in touch. The Scottish Lass, keep the faith. Rewards shall soon be yours, and the BC Dreamcatcher, libations are on me when you arrive. Of course, it is the Calgary Stampede, after all. And last but not least, to the Southeast Brickies, much better half. Keep teaching those bean counters that software, and don't stop what you're doing. Now, in Canada, we've just celebrated our 147th anniversary of becoming a country. Of course, Canada has been flourishing for over 400 years, and some say actually longer, with artifacts of Vikings being found in Newfoundland, etc. Tomorrow, the United States of America celebrate their birthday, July the 4th, and we congratulate our American cousins on their anniversary. And tomorrow is also the first day of the Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth. 10 days of Western Frontier fun when a major Canadian city returns to the Western Frontier. It's truly a great yearly event where millions of dollars pass through each other's hands. Remember, how the West was truly won at the Calgary Stampede. For those of you around the world, you can taste the Calgary Stampede starting tomorrow morning with one of the most impressive parades you will ever see. And the Stampede Marshal this year is none other than our famous Captain Kirk. Yeah, TJ Hooker. Yeah, he's going to be here. Shatner. Now, you can check the Stampede anytime you wish. You can go to the video feeds and the links. Just type in CalgaryStampede.com in your search engine. You'll find the place. Or go to cbc.ca or ctv.ca. Definitely worth the look for those who have not been around the Calgary Stampede and are not aware of what it's about.
You've got email, Governor.
Diane in Bristol, England, emailed, and she said, "Ta for your daily info." Ta means thank you in England, in case you British people, you non-British people out there. Ta for your daily info. We need more British content. Well, Diane, we're currently working on a deal with a major carrier in the UK. We intend to do a mirror show aimed at the European market. We will advise you as soon as that deal is completed. And this is no joke. Summer from Australia. It's winter in Australia, but this is summer. Long story. Summer from Australia emailed, "I read your blogs and the American information on illegal immigrants, but you don't cover the massive problem in Australia. I'll send you some links on the stories for inclusion." Well, thanks, Summer. I appreciate that. And finally, Don from Edmonton, Alberta emailed, "My wife and I noticed you do not discuss the pipelines much anymore. What gives?" Well, Don, frankly, since the Canadian government gave approval of the Northern Gateway to the West Coast, everything is now in the court system. The environmentalists, the tree huggers, and the court system. When we do have something worthwhile, we'll most probably update you. Coming up, the collapse of freedom. Oh, yeah. The collapse of freedom. Now, that's scary stuff when you think about it. Could freedom really collapse? Could it be over? Could it end? Is this it? Is this all we got? Is the tank empty?
These last few years, we've seen an unacceptable abuse of power, having a president whose priority is expanding his own power. Any guess on who said that, Mr. Speaker? It was Senator Barack Obama. Here's another one. No law can give Congress a backbone if it refuses to stand up as a co-equal branch. The Constitution made it. Senator Barack Obama. What do we do with a president who can basically change what Congress passed by attaching a letter saying, "I don't agree with this part or that part"? Senator Barack Obama. I taught the Constitution for 10 years. I believe in the Constitution. Senator Barack Obama. And my favorite, Mr. Speaker, one of the most important jobs of the Supreme Court is to guard against the encroachment of the executive branch on the power of the other branches. And I think the Chief Justice has been a little too willing and eager to give the President more power than I think the Congress or the Constitution originally intended. So my question, Mr. Speaker, is how in the world can you get before the Supreme Court if you don't have standing? What did the president mean by that when he looked to the Supreme Court to rein in executive overreach? If you don't have standing, how can you possibly get before the Supreme Court? So my question, Mr. Speaker, is what's changed? How does going from being a senator to a president rewrite the Constitution? What's different from when he was a senator? Mr. Speaker, we are not a country where the end justifies the means, no matter how good your motivations may be. We all swore an allegiance to the same document that the president swears allegiance to faithfully execute the law. So I will be listening intently during this debate for one of my colleagues to explain to me what that phrase means. What does it mean not to execute the law, but when the framers thought enough of that phrase to add the modifier, faithfully. What does that mean? And if a president does not faithfully execute the law, Mr. Speaker, what are our remedies? Do we just sit and wait on another election? Do we use the power of the purse, the power of impeachment? Those are punishments. Those are not remedies. The remedy is to do exactly what Barack Obama said to do, to go to court, to go to the Supreme Court, and have the Supreme Court say once and for all, we don't pass suggestions in this body, Mr. Speaker. We don't pass ideas. We pass law, and we expect them to be faithfully executed.
Now, before we dig into the meat of the show, the collapse of freedom, I just want to make a brief statement. Over the last 25 and 30 years, we've seen the erosion of Western values and the attempted systematic destruction of the Christian faith. Christians, as we speak, are being slaughtered around the world because they choose to follow the teachings of Christ and the peaceful laws of the Western world, which are based on Christian values. Slaughtered because they refuse to convert to a bastardized religion, which is claimed to be the true word, by insane murderers who rape and destroy the future mothers of a global society. Christians don't require heavenly virgins to believe, nor do they force others to follow their path. Christianity is based upon peace and love, unlike those who wish to destroy everything which is different to their corrupt values. Women and children are cherished and considered equal in Western society. They're not submissive or lower class, and we ask our women to stand by our side and worship with us. And we trust their actions, knowing that our society shall prevail. The West shall prevail in this struggle, but we need you. We need you, the reader, the listener, the citizens of the West. Now, regardless of your skin color or religious affiliation, we need you to participate. Participate in your local and federal issues, to be engaged in your community, to discuss respectfully the issues of the day, to form a perfect society of trust, love, and freedom. Now, as we go to air tonight, there's a very good likelihood that the world is about to implode into another world war. This isn't fear-mongering. Just look around the world. The Ukraine, Syria, Libya, Iraq, Israel, South America, the Philippines, North Korea, the Asian Pacific, and of course, Mexico. All in a pseudo-state of war fired up by radical factions claiming religious rights to force citizens to surrender to their freedoms, or by drug runners and criminals designed specifically to destroy the governments that are already in place. Now, mixed in with that are dictators, governments, conglomerates, and the military-industrial complex who supply the weapons to fight such an unholy war. Now, my co-host, Hugh Mack, speaks of world domination by those who are uber-rich beyond anything we as a poor taxpayer can conceive. The New World Order, the corrupt government actions, which do seem to have their fingers in the global pie of war. Now, Hugh, how long has this been going on, do you think? How long has this slippery slope been in effect?
Well, I think that it's been going on way longer than any of us cares to imagine. I mean, you can trace this as far back in history as you can go through history books. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that at least from where I sit, that this whole experiment in freedom that I trace back at least as far as the Magna Carta, it has been about enslaving the world without using the military force that had been used prior to that point. And I say that because we all live in the illusion of freedom. Whether freedom is real or not depends on what we make of it. In the Western society over the last couple of hundred years, we've made nothing of it. People talk about the Constitution of the United States. I can't remember. I believe it was Benjamin. I can't remember who it was that had said after the Declaration of Independence was signed, and some woman asked him, "What have you created for us?" And he said, "I've created a republic if you can keep it." And frankly, since that day, I don't think we've in the Western world have done a good job of keeping it at all. We've handed over the power right off the bat to our governments. Every time somebody does something wrong, there's a hue and cry among the general population. There ought to be a law. And I've said for a long time, Colin, that that's exactly the opposite of the way it should be. There ought not to be laws. Every law is taking our rights away from us. We trust our governments implicitly to look after us, and they keep taking our rights away from us, pointing to somebody across the border or across the sea and saying, "They're a threat, they're a threat, they're a threat." Look around you, folks. It's your own damn government that's the biggest threat to your freedom, and it's your own damn government that's been taking away your freedom systematically and quietly without you doing a damn thing about it. And
Now I have to say to you that when you come on the air, I expect you to tell me what you really think. And
I won't hold back anymore. Yeah.
Hugh, I can always count on you for the understanding of the world surrender. I've resisted the discussions regarding New World Order, the Illuminati, and the banking caliphates, if you will. I've resisted that, and we've discussed this off air for many hours. And although I saw some roots of it, I didn't believe it was as pervasive as I am seeing tonight. Barack Hussein Obama, the President of the United States of America, I had big hopes for. I really thought that he was the breath of fresh air and things were going to change. But after seeing the debacle in the Middle East and the actions and inactions that have been taken from countries around the world, including the Europeans and the British, you know, they spent everything they got. They got no gas left in the tank.
Here's part of the deception, though, Colin. I mean, when Barack Obama was elected, I thought, well, good for the American people in that they let go of any, let's say, prejudice, and elected a black man. And I was, you know, the obvious other choice was a woman in Hillary Clinton. But I don't think either of them impressed me back then. You're getting more of the same because they're serving the same agenda. Anybody that thinks they're pandering to voters is crazy. They're pandering to business interests and as you say, the military-industrial complex. There's only two parties in the United States. They pick the candidates, and they're both corrupt. The Democrats, the Republicans, take your pick. They're one and the same. They just put a different face on the same entity, and they'll put the best face up there to get elected, and they'll put the worst face up on the other party, depending on which one. I mean, come on, it's John McCain or Barack Obama. Well, what moron in his right mind is going to pick John McCain, who was at the time, 75 years old or something like that, older than the back of God's head. He's had melanoma many times he was prime candidate for a heart attack. Nobody's realistically going to elect John McCain. Forget that he's a puppet.
But
you
in
know?
All
so
fairness,
Barack Obama,
I mean, Joe Biden, in all fairness, Joe Biden had half of his brain removed when he had a major, major surgery. You know, like, this guy definitely isn't firing, you know, with a full shot either. What concerns
Colin, having half your brain removed, just makes you more qualified to be a politician anyway, so.
I didn't think you'd miss that one. What concerns me more is mission creep. You know, Barack Obama gave a timeline of when he was going to be leaving the Middle East, and he kept to the timeline. And the terrorists sat back and waited until all of the cargo that was in Qatar and Dubai was on board ships heading back to the United States, and then they made their move. You know, the jihadist terror group right now has taken control of Syria's largest oil field. And they took that from another terrorist group, the Al-Qaeda. Now, this is directly implicating Europe, and yet Europe is sitting back demanding that the United States step up and do something about it. And my argument to this is we've got a world problem here. You know, the idea that this has got nothing to do with religion, really. This is just pure hatred. Hundreds, if not thousands of years worth of hatred coming forward. And there's very little, it appears, that the West can do about it, unless we're prepared to destroy our economies to save distant lands, if you will. You know?
Well, whether
we've
or not...
got Israel and... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just about to say, Israel and Egypt are now moving troops to its borders. You know, we've got a flare-up in Belfast, Ireland. We've got possible riots being braced for next week. You know, in Afghan, two rockets were fired at the Kabul airport, and they blew up President Hamid Karzai's helicopter on the tarmac. Unfortunately, he wasn't in it. You know, all of this is happening, and it's like we are powerless to stop this. This is the destruction of freedom. People throughout the Middle East, what little bit of freedom that they tasted over the spring offensives that they did, and the freedom that they gained by getting rid of the despots, they have lost, because now they have such a violent, disgusting organization that is willing to destroy their citizenship if they do not cower to their demands. Like, I just don't understand why the world isn't up in arms and isn't trying to stop this before it gets to a point where we can't stop it. You know, Iran is in final talks regarding their nuclear ambitions. They're in Geneva this week. And you know what's going to happen at the end of this week? Nothing's going to happen. Iran's either going to walk out or there's going to be no arrangement made. And Iran has gained themselves 2 years' worth of negotiation, which I forecasted would be exactly what happens. And nuclear weapons are going to be available to these terrorist organizations. We are no longer in the Middle East. We don't even have a foothold in there. And we can bet your sweet Bippy that this is going to blow up and, you know, it's going to spread around the world. What the hell,
Colin,
do we do?
Part of the problem, as I see it, Colin, is that we may or may not be in the Middle East. Part of the problem is we are the Middle East. We're all looking at the Middle East, or at Barack Obama, or at all of these sleights of hand that they're putting up there. But look out on your own street. Look at your own downtown core. Look at the police presence in your own city, and they're paramilitary now. Okay, so even if you do protest on a mass scale, you're going to be shut down, and you face the same punishments, the same discouragement as anybody in the Middle East. We have allowed this to happen in our country, in our cities. We've allowed it, the Americans have allowed it to happen there. They've allowed their government to be usurped by the power elite. And, you know, it was in 1815, Nathan Meyer Rothschild said, "I care not what puppet is placed upon the throne of England to rule the empire on which the sun never sets. The man who controls Britain's money supply controls the British Empire, and I control British money supply." There's part of your answer right there. The bankers are financing this military-industrial complex, the arms manufacturers that are supplying arms to both sides of any conflict, that's what it's all about, and that's what it's been all about for years and years and years. The two world wars were engineered by the money interests. Not Hitler was one of those sleights of hand that they put up there, and they encouraged him to get out of hand. They encouraged him to get carried away, and then as soon as it became a public issue, they were able to go in and start the Second World War. We're being manipulated by money. And again, I don't want to get into the discussion of the pipeline here in Alberta, but the people in BC overwhelmingly, almost unanimously, did not want that pipeline in any way, shape, or form running through their province, and our government shoved it down their throat. It's happening here. So before we go sympathizing with, you know, and the difference is, the people over in Iraq, people that have lived in Eastern Europe and lived under the communist regime and under the totalitarian regimes, they can look at us. We're the only ones that don't get it, because we've been distracted by this life of luxury, this illusion of prosperity, and they can take it away. It doesn't matter how much money you got. They can deflate the value of your dollars so that you don't have any money. You could have $1 million, but if all it buys you is a loaf of bread, it's no good to you. But they've given us this illusion of prosperity. They've allowed us they've allowed us to get in debt. Most people are seriously in debt most people are going to have trouble repaying the debt that they've got into. You come into a booming economy in Alberta, and you're going to have to get into debt just to live here, a serious debt. Then in 2 or 3 years, they'll bottom out the economy. The oil companies will say, okay, we're shutting it down now. The banks reclaim all the land because people haven't paid their mortgages. They come and repossess all the toys and the bells and whistles that people have bought because they can't afford to pay that, and they're broke. But they got the work done.
Gotcha. Question down in our virtual studio. Question is, what do you think would happen if the West did all they could and produced oil balls to the wall? What would the Middle East be then? In other words, take away the power of the oil, because Europe are heading into a very deep hole without oil coming out of the Middle East, which is soon to get shut down. I mean, we've seen the Syrian oil under control, the Iraqi oil's under control. Pretty soon you're going to see the rest of the Gulf nations collapsing if we or somebody doesn't step in there and defend. So where do you think we stand? Can we get out of this? Can we change? Do we just kiss our ass goodbye?
Do we think that giving the power to our oil companies is going to make it any better? Do the oil companies that operate in Alberta and in Texas and that, do we think that's going to make it any better, giving the power to them?
I don't know. I was asking the question. I was posing the question. I wish I had the answer. I wish I did.
Yeah, and I think the answer is, at least the simple answer is, everything that's going on the planet, you got to be vocal. Like you say, you have to be vocal. You have to be, but you can't poo-poo adverse points of view. Okay,
right.
We've become an intolerant society, even in the West. Our laws say Well, I got a friend who's Iranian, and he was saying one of the things he likes about Canada is that there's no prejudice in Canada. And I said, whoa, back the truck up a little bit here, Mohammed.
I
said, the problem is that you don't know where the prejudice exists in Canada because we're not allowed to say those things.
Right.
Anything
right.
prejudice, speaking, anything politically
speaking,
incorrect. It comes out.
Speaking of prejudice, this week there was a news article that came out and claimed that Michelle Obama had made a racial slur. And so I went back on the story because I wanted to see what this was. And she used the word gypped, that the United States had been gypped on something or another. Now, I didn't know gypped was a racial slur. So I looked at the derivation of it, and
gypsy.
Apparently it comes from the European gypsy. And now if you're gypped, that means you've been conned, taken, blah, 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 and it's become a racial slur. I learned something. But until it was brought to my attention, I genuinely did not know that word could be considered to be a racial slur. And
well,
I'm sure if you look at a lot of the words in our English language, you know, we could fall into that same, you know, that same abyss of racial inequality or whatever. But my main concern is this, really. The amount of people that the Obama administration has allowed over the southern border through Mexico, apparently the majority of these people that are coming over are not Mexican. The Guatemalan, Peruvian, Brazilian, you know? They're coming from all of the South Americas because they've heard that they won't get sent back. Now, looking at this, and you see the influx of people and the amount of funds it's going to take to be able to house, feed, heal these people, educate these people and get them on their feet, it is going to be atrocious at best. And then today I find out that the United States federal government have just sued a company, get this, they just sued a company in the United States because they say that the company's stipulation that the people they are hiring must speak English is prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
prejudice.
Yeah.
That they're not allowed to do that. We should not be allowed to demand that the people speak English.
Mm-hmm.
What are we turning into here? You know, we've got 9 million Americans off the books. They're unemployed, but they're not on the numbers because they don't get unemployment or anything anymore.
Yeah, and they've just given up on looking for jobs, yeah.
Yeah, the media are jumping all over the latest statistics that, you know, unemployment is now 6.1, and that they're all excited about this. But, you know, it's absolutely huge. You look at the numbers, and black unemployment is 10.7, more than double of white unemployment at 5.3. 15.2% of workers, 18 to 29, are out of work. You know, add that to the 9 million, add that to the 18 million, add that to the hundreds of thousands coming across the border. The United States are sinking, absolutely sinking. And there's not a darn thing they can do about it until they get President Obama out of office and start enforcing the laws. And the laws are from around the world. I don't believe we should be sending money to nations that want us dead. I don't.
This is part of the New World Order. And I've been saying this for years. NAFTA is a scam. The North American Free Trade Agreement is just a vehicle to get us under one North American government. That's all it is. And there's There's the European Economic Union, and there's an Asian coalition that will establish an Asian Union, which sort of exists already. So we're down to three governments, all controlled by the same central government, whether it's in Brussels or wherever the control center is. The United Nations is a big mechanism of that. But we lost our sovereignty as Canadians at the very latest, it was back in 2002 or 2001 when Paul Martin and George W. Bush signed what's called the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. And this is a document that, from what I've been able to gather, what this document does is it sets up a court that will deal only in matters of security and prosperity, but it will have the authority to overrule the American Supreme Court, our Supreme Court, and the Mexican Supreme Court. But again, only in the matters of security and prosperity. Well, everything falls under those two categories.
Exactly.
It's either financial or it's military. And it's gone. We don't have a Supreme Court that can hold on to our Constitution, or that the Americans don't have one that can hold on to their Constitution. It has been subverted, and nobody talked about it. It wasn't on the election agenda between Paul Martin and Stephen Harper. It wasn't on any agenda. What we keep hearing is health care and education, over and over and over and over and over, and they do nothing to fix health care and education. All they do is get us focused on these two little things while they're out shaking hands with each other in little clubhouses or wherever it is they meet. And our everything has been taken away from us. And it's because we're not paying attention. We want to trust our government to the point where we say, oh, well, the government says this is the official story and this must be true. Come on, 9/11, a bunch of camel jockeys from the hills in Afghanistan got together and blew up the two towers, the two symbols of finance, Western finance, and they took that all down. They got the American military to stand down that day. They created all of that, come on, the official story is a lie. And it was, I don't know whether or not the American government had something to do with that or not, but consider that the only plane allowed to fly after those towers came down was a plane that was flying back to Saudi Arabia, taking their contingent that had just had a meeting with George Bush Sr. across the street. And included in that contingent were members of the bin Laden family. But no. Osama bin Laden was a renegade. He wasn't part of that. He's a reject from the family. Come on, let's all wake up and smell the beans. This is being done to us on a daily basis. Every time our government enacts a law, every time they open their mouths, they lie, and it's the lies that are perpetrated in order to either put us asleep or distract us and draw our attention somewhere else. We have to wake up, or we don't have a chance.
Agreed. The 9/11, of course, is an issue that probably is never going to be resolved, much like the JFK issue. Down in our virtual studio, I do have a longtime listener that was personally involved in the 9/11 chaos and destruction, and lost some family members, and it never gets any easier. As soon as it brought to the surface, regardless who did it,
Probably the best thing at this point is to let it go. Let those who lost and suffered in 9/11 grieve, and maybe help them out as best we can. But we're not going to let it go. 50 years later, we're talking about who shot JFK. It doesn't matter now who shot JFK, but you have to realize that the official story was a lie. It was bound. It was predestined to be a lie, because the official story is ever going to be the truth.
Right, yeah. And I think you just logged into the virtual studio because you kicked my bum out. We'll be right back.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on WhatTalkRadio.com in association with Spy Gazette and the TerraChat Radio Network.
But I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you can't answer these questions, then I'll leave you to draw whatever conclusion you want to draw about whether or not the media has provided sufficient oversight. Can you tell me why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi the night that he was killed? Do you know? Does it bother you whether or not you know why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi? Do you know why we were the last flag flying in Benghazi after the British had left and the Red Cross had been bombed? Do you know why requests for additional security were denied? Do you know why an ambassador asking for more security days and weeks before he was murdered and those requests went unheeded? Do you know the answer to why those requests went unheeded? Do you know why no assets were deployed during the siege? And I've heard the explanation, which defies logic, frankly, that we couldn't have gotten there in time, but you know they didn't know when it was going to end. So how can you possibly cite that as an excuse? Do you know whether the president called any of our allies and said, can you help? We have men under attack. Can you answer that? Do any of you know why Susan Rice was picked? The Secretary of State did not go. She says she doesn't like Sunday talk shows. That's the only media venue she does not like, if that's true. Why was Susan Rice on the 5 Sunday talk show? Do you know the origin of this mythology that it was spawned as a spontaneous reaction to a video? Do you know where that started? Do you know how we got from no evidence of that to that being the official position of the administration? In conclusion, Congress is supposed to provide oversight. The voters are supposed to provide oversight. And you are supposed to provide oversight. That's why you have special liberties, and that's why you have special protections. I am not surprised that the President of the United States called this a phony scam. I'm not surprised that Secretary Clinton asked, what difference does it make? I'm not even surprised that Jay Carney said Benghazi happened a long time ago. I'm just surprised at how many people bought it.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And as we come out of the break, we do have one person holding from New York City, Joanna. We will get you right away, Joanna. Just hold in there. Let's just finish up where we were, and we'll move into another segment here. You know, Hugh, today they announced, the United States military announced that they've actually been conducting secret operations in Somalia since 2007. And the Obama administration has now announced that they intend to expand that assistance to help counter the Al-Qaeda link group Al-Shabaab. So, you know, you settle one area down, another area flares up. You know, the whole Africa is going to go up like a tinderbox. And where is Europe? Where is the military assistance? Where is the diplomatic assistance from Europe? They're sitting back, allowing the United States to once again carry the freight. And, of course, Stephen Harper and the gang are going to turn around and say, well, we'll come with you. We're there. Yeah, we're there. You know, and we're at it again.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and isn't it astonishing that the first assistance they send is military? Nobody wants to fix the problems. We just want to get in there and get control.
Yeah. I don't know if they, does Somalia have oil? They most certainly have pirates. That's for sure, eh?
Well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. They've got starving people. They've got other problems that a military is not the solution to.
Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying now. I get what you're saying now, for sure. Tell you what, let's bring Joanna from New York City on the line. Good evening, Joanna. Welcome to VOCR. Good to see you back on station again. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, and I have been listening. And, in fact, Colin and I know each other for many, many years. And
good
we
and
have
bad years,
on
and
off.
Good and bad.
Yeah, but a very long, long time. And sometimes together, sometimes in arguments, no matter what it is, the one thing we always did was agree upon the fact that the world is in a terrible mess, terrible trouble, and it has been for years and years and years. Now, going back at least 15 years, I would say, Colin, right? Maybe more. I would be in different forums, chat rooms, different places on the internet with Colin. Colin would be there also. And we would try to do something that I finally just gave up on. And that's called reason with our fellow human beings at the state of the world, the state of our countries, and what was coming and what was ahead. And unfortunately, both Colin and I were right, along with a very few chosen friends that agreed with us that we were in terrible trouble. And as I said, unfortunately, that's where we went. And it's obvious to me that we have all the things, and I refer to them as small little things we discuss, that makes up this tremendous mess the world is in. And I truly am convinced at this point that there is an overall superpower, be it the bankers or whatever name you want to give it, the Illuminati, without question, controlling the entire planet. And we are their puppets for what they see fit. There is no really rhyme and reason to it, because as I watch them destroy the economy and the world, and watch, if it's not in terrible war, people starving to death, economies failing, people losing everything, I cannot understand how that is going to benefit the rich who need us to produce on some level in order for them to maintain their fortunes. So it's very confusing to me, but it is happening.
But may I ask you something now, Anna?
My question is first to Colin. Colin, why do the people refuse to listen? No matter what you're warning about them, and I used to go into the chat rooms, I gave that up years ago. I started writing in different places under all different type of writing names, and that did not work either really well. Then I took and I went out and I joined different political groups, and I tried to actively, face-to-face, reason with some logic people, and no matter what the manner I used, face-to-face, on the internet, in writing, all kinds of media, I got the same resistance, and that is a blank stare like I'm crazy. And the world is just letting this happen. And that thing I can't get.
Yeah, I tell you what, Joanna, instead of me answering that, I'm going to defer that to my Illuminati speaker, Hugh, who has a much better grasp on what's happening in the world. I do agree with you. I, too, have, as you know, I've been in the internet chat for many, many years when I only had a 600 baud modem. We had the old town crier bulletin board that if you send a message, you might get a reply in about 6 or 7 hours, and that was lightning speed. So we've been around a long time.
Yes.
And I have hammered away and hammered away and hammered away, and all I can get when I am on the internet is, you're a Canadian. What the hell has he got to do with you? Yeah,
I remember. You got that a lot.
Well, I still get it. I still get it today. Yeah. I was in there 2 days ago. I got it at the same time. You know, it's bizarre. So, Hugh, where do we go? How do we get out of the mess that we're in? Or do we just stick our head between our knees and kiss our ass goodbye?
First of all, let me just address the question you just asked, Joanna, and it's a broad question, but I'm going to try and do it as concisely as possible. And thank you for the question, by the way. Thank you for calling. I think, first of all, in large part, we're not paying attention to the tools that are used against us. Okay, one of the things you're going to have the really hard part convincing the oath, is that our educational systems are being used against us. Okay, most people don't buy that. They think it's a good thing to send your kids to a government-run school 8 hours a day and have the government babysit your kids and have the government teach your kids whatever curriculum the government wants. This is a system that's being used against us. It's been used against us for several generations now, and as every generation passes, the next generation is a little more complacent with the agenda that they're pushing. Okay, now everybody that's coming out of particularly universities, but everybody that's even coming out of high school and to a very large degree the public school system is just buying that our government is there for us, that our government wouldn't lie to us, they're going to look after us. They might be some incompetent boobs in the government, but they're there essentially for us. This is a lie. But after generations of having that stuck in our children's face and our face, and I go back a fair ways, and this is the way it was taught to me when I was in school, is that government is there for us, and it's a lie. So they've got the educational system that they can use against us because they control the curriculum. And now big business, I was at the university here in Calgary the other day, and it just amazes me, all the corporate logos on the institution up there, the blah, blah, blah Institute of Applied Science and all of this. It's ridiculous. But these are so the advertising, the media, where they blitz us with ideas, it doesn't have to come right out and say your government is doing this and blah, blah, blah. It's just got to hint at it and get that idea in everybody's head as they sit complacent and mindlessly watch the garbage that they're being fed. And billboards, political campaigns are a good one. Political campaigns are about the best thing as far as putting us to sleep are concerned. But you got to look at all the tools that these people use and the information that they get, what they know, how to use it. It goes back to Sigmund Freud's nephew. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. But he was the one that started this in the Western world, using psychological techniques and profiles to trigger certain responses in people and manipulate them without even telling them what to do. It'll just manipulate them as you watch what they feed. So there's many ways this is being done to it.
Much like Facebook recently did with that scientific test they did.
Exactly.
Where they use, you know. And I've always said this, Joanna, you, I'm sure you'll back me up on this, but mainstream media, they're just propaganda. That's all they are. They have no interest in telling you the real story. They just puke out the government line.
It's far worse. I agree with everything that both of you said. Colin, I always backed you on your views. You were one of the few people I really thought could think, and found it very interesting watching how they also refused to listen to you. It was you were the enemy because you were bringing out a different viewpoint, and they didn't want to hear that. It's got to be far deep. There's something else even more that we're not quite grasping yet that's going on. People are so dumbed down. As far as the educational systems are concerned, they also stopped teaching people, I would say, I don't know, maybe 40 down. They can barely read or write. They could not do math. They can't, like, count change. Basic things they were not taught. So they're left, in my view, defenseless. They are very easily guided and controlled if they don't have the ability to think. And it's terrible. And the universities are terrible. They're basically liberal, and you don't have much chance except keeping your mouth shut if that isn't your viewpoint, and believe me, I know. I went to a liberal university, an Ivy League school. I have a PhD from one, and it wasn't easy because I really could not speak my full truth because I would be blackballed. I would be considered a misfit,
You'd never have made it through. Yeah.
And
agreed,
I would
never.
And I also would stuff it in my work life.
However, Joanna, if you want to, I'll let you finish in a second. I just want to. John Taylor Gatto, G-A-T-T-O. If you look him up on YouTube, this is a guy who was a teacher in the United States, I believe. He won all kinds of awards for his teaching. His students excelled, and he quit one day, publicly denounced it. He said, "I am not going to harm the children anymore," and he quit the profession, and he's got many, many videos on YouTube, and if you listen to him, it'll blow your mind what they're trying to do to our kids.
Oh, it's terrible.
So,
I remember, in fact,
so Joanna,
I was friends with... Yes?
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Joanna.
I was friends with Colin at the time. I don't know if you remember this, Colin. It was years and years ago. But a friend of mine at a local university wanted to take a leave of its absence. There was something going on in her life, and asked me to just cover some community college night courses for, I think it was a part of the summer. And I went, and I did, and it was a basic, I can't even remember what it was. I think it was like a basic biology course or something, very, very simple. Do you know what I spent my time there? Now, these people that were in, most of them, I think they were like in their second year of their community college experience. I was teaching them how to read. I was teaching them how to do simple math, like multiplication, because they were struggling with it so much that they couldn't figure out, like, how to multiply to do medical not equations. Let's say I wanted them to give 20 milligrams of insulin and change it into a different type of syringe with different measurements on it. They couldn't do it. And I said, you know, what the hell are we going, how are they going to have children? How are we going to make formula for them? How are they going to give them medication? How are they going to know what's being done with their money, their taxes, their income tax? They are completely ignorant of these things. This cannot be coincidental. This has to be some type of overall plan to absolutely dumb down society. And not only, you know, am I seeing all this and everything that you talk about on the show and everything you that you say, and Colin, your politics are always right on. Sometimes I just can't look anymore at your site. It's just so bad. I can't do it. It's right. Okay, the next paragraph, okay, this one's worse than the one I just read. So, you know, it just goes on and on and on. But my fear is this. I watched all this happening, and I started to back away. Because I was told by a very smart person many years ago, if you are too close to it, you're never going to figure it out if you're in trouble. Being any subject in the world that you want to discuss, you have to put yourself up on the hill or in a tree and think of it that way, and you're looking down on the situation and tell yourself then, what do you really see going on, and start to sort it out that way. And when I did that with the world situation, I saw something that really frightened me, and I started to contact Colin. And that is, at first I thought we were just having a rotation of world economies. And the United States, we were the superpower. Oh, you know, and let me tell you, I lived here during the best of times, and it was great. And you're right, we were spoiled, fat, it was easy. You could have a beautiful house, clothes, you know, anything you wanted, and if you were smart, you could really do well. And if you're really even smarter, you would have seen that that was going to burst. And taking care of yourself, which I did, meaning owning everything. And you hit that right on the head. Owning your property, owning your home, owning your cars, owning some land, being able to survive without owing anybody else for anything. And, of course, very few people can do it, but that's how to survive. And I started to watch. Okay, superpower of America, and I fought like the devil with Colin over this, but it was being taken away. and it collapsed. And this man, he is, in my view, our American Antichrist. He is collapsing this country. Absolutely, I don't know if we can ever get back off our knees. But then China was roaring along. It was going to be the next superpower. And I thought, okay, the powers that be, the bankers, the Illuminati, the secret government of the world, however you want to call that structure, which absolutely does exist, is now giving the power to China. And then China will be, and then they'll maybe switch it over and something else. They're switching it around for a reason. But then I got the fear of my life, because China, I've been there. I was during that part of their expansion, I was there too. And it was fantastic for them. They were growing out of their skins. But guess what? Now it's collapsing. It's folding.
Yep.
And yep. I'm saying to myself, now, wait a minute. There's no superpower in the United States. China is being brought to their knees. Russia, well, they've always been on their knees. India and the Middle East, Europe has already been flattened. They are taking the power away from every national section of this world, every nation. They are flattening you all and making you one world government, whether you like it or not. And
you know
what?
Now
I see happening.
Now I have to pay you a buck, because I've been fighting him on the New World Order for nigh on a year now, saying, no, I don't think it's going to get as bad as that, you. I think we're going to pull our head out of our backside and you know, step up to the plate and do something. And you know what? We're not. And the more I listen and the more I talk and the more I talk to people and the more information I read, I realize that until the power of the people actually comes back to the people, we're lost. In Ontario, they just re-elected Kathleen Wynne as the premier of the province with all
talk
kinds
about
of promises
asleep.
That she has. Yeah, talk about asleep. She has no intention of fulfilling, and she's going to ride that province down into the ground. Now, the interesting thing about it is, if you look at the statistics of the voting power, 13% of the province of Ontario voted Kathleen Wynne into power. 13% of the province made the decision for the other, 87% of the people. And that's what's
democracy
happening.
At work.
The elections, yeah, the elections, the voting power of the people. People don't get off their backsides anymore to vote. They don't bother voting. What's the point? They do not realize the power of their vote. Now, just going back, Joanna, we're going to take a break, but I do want you to stay online, because I like what I hear, and you're open to say it, and hopefully there's other people out there that are more than willing to listen and pay heed.
I'm ripping mad. I have a lot more to say.
Oh, I'm sure you do. We do have another 20 minutes left, so hang in there, kiddo. You too, Hugh.
Okay.
You know, we talked a few minutes ago about the dumbing down of America. That phrase I first heard from an old-timer in chat who shall remain nameless, but he was right. He was right.
Yes.
The dumbing down of America. Now, the people that are doing the dumbing down are the people that people are tuning into on a daily basis to listen to, and to listen to what they have to tell America, another one, what to do. Listen to this. This is a man that has his own show. He is on CNBC. The man is, well, his history speaks for itself. We'll be right back.
But resist, we must. We must.
They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortoise in the Race, then co-author of Hubris, U2 lead singer Bono, Fran Drescher, Sigourney Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanaev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, the show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Is Mike Muckery yesterday, Antonine Scalia, Kim Kardashian, and the Republican candidate.
Well, Cairo and Benghazi, we rank behind La Vita. First stop, Kazakhstan, to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A in Iowa. Bain is appropriate. The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires. Why was traffic problems email sent? The Environmental Protection Agency and what sequestration has done.
Now, of course, that was Al Sharpton, who has a long, long, long history before he became the supreme leader on a political show on CNBC. Joanna, these are the type of people that are teaching our young, the heirs. The Professor Ayers of this world, who was on Fox News, two-part going to show tomorrow night. Listen to what he has to say, because the man wants to destroy America, plain and simple. He wanted to do it when he was with the Weather Underground. He wanted to do it as he blew up federal buildings. His group wanted to do it when they murdered police officers, and now they're all professors in major universities in America teaching political science and the likes. This is what we've been left with, Joanna.
It's devastating, and I don't understand why. That's the thing that I want to get at, is the why. Why will people glaze over and listen to these fools? They're not even logical. They don't make sense. There's no history behind what they're talking about. Well, that's another problem. We were never taught the correct history probably anyway, but any history at all. People don't know the history of their own towns or very simple things. They're just completely ignorant right across the board. And that dumbing down of America that that old man did warn us about years ago absolutely is the truth. And it's cool controls. The population was by way of the media, the televisions, the movies, the Facebooks, everything like that, any device, as far as I'm concerned, that makes them feel cool, that's what they listen to. That's what they're guided by. And the fact that they may die 5-10 years from now just does not cross their mind. It can't be, because the cool stuff doesn't tell them that that's what's going to happen. Why are they so blinded and so controlled by these devices? I'm beginning to think that there is actually more going on, and this is some type of subliminal, constant hacking at the population to control them through these methods. Otherwise, you just cannot be that stupid. I'm sorry. It's
well, I come
you
back.
Think,
yet
I,
it's
I
happening.
Come back. I come back to you. You got to take your children's education out of the hands of these crooks and thieves and murderers, and you got to start educating your own children. I know that the system now is set up so that you got to work two jobs, you got to have two incomes in your family, most families do, and so you have to have daycare. So your kids go off to school for 6 or 7 hours, and then after that they spend 2 or 3 hours in daycare till somebody picks them up. You got no time with your kids. You got to make the time for your kids. You got to teach them, get them out of the school, take them out of school and homeschool them. Now you still have to pass the educational agenda. They still have to write the same exams. You can teach them how to write those exams, but you don't have to teach them that that is God's gospel. You can teach them the truth. You can teach them, you know, that they're only writing the exam so that they get the degree. It's got nothing to do with being smart. It's got nothing to do with being able to be ahead of anybody else. It's just got to do with learning learning crap that the government and the corporations want you to learn, and they're dumbing us down. School uniforms, lunch breaks now, the lunch programs in schools, so that you don't even, kids don't even go home for lunch anymore. They're taking our children away from us in every way possible, physically, mentally, emotionally. They're taking our children away from us, and unless we stand up and stop it, and that's the only way we can do it, individually, stand up, go down and rail against your educational system.
They have to turn off the television. You do not have to have two new cars, a mini mansion, the best furniture you've ever seen. Your kids don't need to wear $100 sneakers, and mama can stay home and teach children and watch what, if they do go to school, every single thing that's going on up at that school. I don't go for everybody has to be working. Yeah, you have to if you live the lifestyles we do. But you know what? I grew up in a house where we were all just stuffed in there because it was a small house and there were a lot of kids. But we did it. And we didn't have two fancy new cars. We had one car. And when that car was home,
We were told that was poverty, weren't we, Joanne? We were told that if you live like that, that's not a good life.
Well, that only started as I'm the oldest here. And no, and when I grew up, that was typical. That's the way, and that's why my friends know how to read and write. I really mean that. It was the generations after us. Where then it had to be, well, that was not, you needed the fancy house. Oh, everybody had the two new cars. Oh, you have to have a color television in every room. Oh, the kids will need this. I didn't grow up that way. I grew up in a much more mediocre, average type world where things moved slower, went slower, and I was taught to read, write, and do math. And
I didn't
get pushed ahead unless I knew how to do that. So, you know,
I didn't see color television until 1969. And the only reason I saw color television is because my father rented it so he could watch the English against, I think it was India, test match of cricket because he wanted to see the green grass. And I was fortunate enough at the same time, around about the same time, to see the man land on the moon in color by satellite. And I thought that my life had changed forever.
And you grew up perfectly normal.
Well, as normal as normal could be. Yeah.
I want to go back to my, there's something wrong. I believe the population is being controlled much more than the school systems. Yes, everything you're saying is absolutely right. But there's some kind of control going on, and I do believe it is through the computers, the televisions, and all the devices that the people hooked up to every day that they hold
expand
in their
on
hand,
that, Joanne.
like it's you know, part of their body. If they put down that cell phone or that device, they're going to drop dead. That I feel is part of this control of this overall government. I'm going to just call it shadow government. That is manipulating this world to where it wants to be. Okay, all the Western world dumbed down. There's no question about it. The kids are just dumb. They can't read. They can't write. Not in the traditional way that they need to. However, he went to China, living on one bowl of rice a day. That did his, you know, when he needed to relieve himself, went out and sat on a rock. That kid had technical skills that you couldn't believe. Math, science, and language. That little kid sitting on that rock with his little bowl of rice would then go in and for his homework hack into an American website as the good thing to do. And when I was there, I said to myself, we're heading towards hell. This just can't be. Not only is the power being taken away from the West, and at this point in time, going to Asia, but they are tough as nails, these people. Give them, a beetle, and they'll eat that till tomorrow if that's all they can get and survive. Yet,
it's healthier than McDonald's.
Science and math, they were beating our brains in. And I thought, when they take us over, that's it. It's going to be finished. They're tough. There's too many of them, and they're well educated. That's why I was shocked.
So you think
when I
you think education?
When I
was
switched to Asia, and I thought they were next. They were going to be the big strong superpower, the big economy. Then it happened. They are being brought to their knees too. They're collapsing. You're using the correct word. They are collapsing. Their economy is not flourishing. They have cities, huge cities that stand empty without a soul in them because the economy came to a halt. They are having trouble controlling their people again. They cannot get the oil and the energy they need to continue on. And they stalled because obviously we stalled. So their customers stalled. Okay, now we have this thing going on in the Middle East. Now that really concerns me. And I spoke to Colin about this too, because I see all nations having their power taken away from them and being brought to their knees, not just the United States. I think it's purposely being played out to have a world collapse of all separate nations in order to build something else. And
it's obvious, isn't it, Joanne?
It scares me. Yes.
It's obvious.
Now,
so why
meantime,
why are people not seeing it?
I don't know. I'm asking you that because they are manipulating us somehow not to see it. You cannot be that stupid. And then, of course, we're never told the truth. You go in a chat room, ask Colin. I got off a plane.
Oh, God.
Came back from China, and I'm sitting there, like, you know, jet-lagged out of my brain, listening to them discuss what it's like in China. They couldn't have been more wrong. They have no idea what it's like in Asia. None. Completely. But they're all experts.
They're experts because they have drank the Kool-Aid. They're watching the news reports on mainstream media on their TV. They're getting their news reports from the internet, and all of this information is fed to them. And they're spooning it in because they get home from work, as Hugh said earlier, you know, they get the kid from daycare, they come home from work, they sit down, they might have a microwaved meal, the kid goes to do some homework, then goes to bed, and the parents go to bed exhausted, maybe down a couple of glasses of wine to get them to sleep so they can do it tomorrow. And the only thing that they have for information is whatever is on the boob tube, whatever they're being fed. You know,
right.
And my argument has always been that I've had this argument in internet chat over and over and over again. My grandfather was a Democrat. My father was a Democrat. By God, I'm a Democrat, and my children will be Democrats. You know,
okay.
And it's like, are you kidding me? Are you really? Are you? You know, are we at that level of life that this? This label of Democrat, liberal, conservative, Republican is all that matters and not the substance of what's going on.
And
you're right.
You.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. That's the way they think. And you know what? Not any of that matters anymore. They don't get it. We're way past that. It's over, Charlie. It collapsed. And another issue that nobody talks about is now there is going to be a fight for this oil. That's why I'm so angry at this, that we're not pumping, that pipeline is not, like, you know, 24 hours a day spinning, and that we're not
digging them up. If I may correct you, Joanna, if I may correct you, I don't think there will be a fight for the oil. There will be a fight in the name of the oil. I think the oil is already controlled. I think the powers that be already control the oil. That's why electric cars and all the good technology that's been developed over the last 75, 80 years has been rejected, is because the powers that be control the oil, and they're not going to let that technology out. So I think the fight will be in the name of oil. It's going to get everybody riled. Okay, we got to go get our oil because global warming, but we've got to have our oil. We won't be able to survive without our oil. The fight will be in the name of the oil, but the oil is already a done deal.
Well, a couple of things that hit the internet And we're like buried so far deep down, believe me. When we do our research for the Spy Gazette, we dig into some pretty nefarious places to get information. And three pieces of information came up today that never made it into the Gazette because it came up too late. But the first one, the Bank of International Settlements, they issued a new report today, and it warns of dangerous new asset bubbles are forming, which potentially could lead to another major financial crisis. Argentina has missed a $539 million debt repayment and is on the verge of its second major debt default in 13 years. And Bulgaria is desperately trying to calm down a massive run on their banks that threaten to spiral out of control. You know, I mean, these things are happening, and yet you go into a chat room and they just want to F this and F that. If you're a Republican, don't go into this room. If you're a Democrat, don't go into this room. For God's sake, don't talk about this and don't talk about that. And if you dare say that Fox News is wrong, you will not only get bounced out of the room, but you'll get blocked and you won't be able to go back in there and chat. This is the mentality of these people.
Yeah. Can I just say this right now? I just want to take this 1 second to say this on the heels of what you just said, Colin. Fox News is wrong.
But so is NBC. So is CBS.
Yes.
So
yeah,
you know, they're all pumping the same stuff.
And war is give it a break. It's way past that. The controlling forces are reshaping this world, and there's not a damn thing I don't think we can do about it at this point. I really don't think there is. And the great world powers, they're gone. And guess what? I don't see them coming back. It's going to be a whole new world order, whether you like it or not. And
the
things
powers
that people don't even consider is like China. They want a lot of oil, and I don't care who's controlling it or what. The ones that they're going to fight with over it is Russia and India. And China, people don't know this, they hate Russians. They hate the people of India. They would rather do business with anyone else, Westerners first and foremost, than ever with a Russian. They are arch enemies, and you know what? The rest of the world does not know that. It's kept hidden.
True.
I don't know why.
That's true.
But when it comes time to fight for that oil, if those those powers go at it, God help the people with the oil. That's all I have to say.
Well,
because they are going to have a... I'm sorry.
That would be us here. That would be us here, Colin.
Yeah, I hate to end it on such a negative down note, but Joanna, we're into the bottom 2 minutes of the show. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your information. Stay in touch. I want you back as often as you want to come back, as often as we're on the air. I'd like to have you there. Yeah, please do.
Okay.
Joanna, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me talk.
No problem. Take care now. So there we go. You know this is a good American. I mean, she's worked hard all of her life, and she knows
awake.
What's going on. Yeah, yeah.
She's awake.
Awake.
She's paying
engaged.
Attention.
She's engaged. But you know what? Yeah. Even being engaged, unless you have the rest of the people with you, my friend, you know, unless that percentage of population that doesn't get off their backside and vote and change this world, we're done. We're cooked.
Well, like I said, Colin, I think I said this to you off the air a couple of weeks ago, that critical mass isn't what people think it needs to be. Okay, we don't need an overwhelming majority of the population to wake up. We just need enough people to wake up, and the rest will just happen. It will just automatically follow. So let's just keep the dialogue going.
True. Hugh, it's been a pleasure, sir. I appreciate
as
your time, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
Okay. Have a good night.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. 90 minutes of VOCR Live. The surrender of freedom. It's all up to you. You, the citizen, the voter. It's up to you. You got to get up, get off your backside, get out there and do something. No point in talking about it unless you're going to do it. So in other words, piss or get off the pot. Until next time.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraJazz Network production.